This podcast is supported by Emerson. From technology that delivers cures at warp speed to software that makes clean energy reliable, Emerson Innovation helps make the world healthier, safer, smarter, and more sustainable. Emerson, go boldly.
Welcome to a special episode of Tech News Briefing for Monday, April 17th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. This is the third installment of our series, Artificially Minded, where we look at how artificial intelligence is changing our lives, livelihoods, and culture. The first two shows, AI 101 and Your AI Questions Answered, can be found in this feed. They're a great way to understand the background and some more interesting things that AI does. Today, we're going to talk about something that has been raising a lot of concern recently. Artists fear that generative AI could replace them.
It just doesn't make sense to pay an artist and to wait 3 weeks if you can get it for essentially nothing.
AI art generation tools have already been used to make a prize-winning picture, comic books, and magazine covers. And that has a lot of artists worried. Now, there are a lot of questions about the information, the art, used to build these AI art generators. It's even the center of some lawsuits. But today, that's not our focus. On this episode, we're looking at the way AI could upend artistic industries. After all, mechanization and automation replaced workers in technical industries. Think switchboard operators, the human computers that were once employed by NASA, even some modern-day warehouse workers. Historically, though, technological advancements have contributed to job creation and economic growth. And creative roles, ones that rely on the human brain to do more than just a repetitive task, have, for the most part, adapted to technological breakthroughs of the past, and workers in these fields have avoided being fully replaced. So, is this the moment that shifts? To understand that concern, I want to introduce you to Tomer Hanukkah, an illustrator living in New York City. Hanukkah earns what he describes as a middle-class income, designing the covers of books and issues of magazines like The New Yorker and National Geographic, thanks to his distinctive style.
The anatomy of the figures is quite expressive and theatrical. There is a limited palette of colors, but they are very bold usually, and I strive for unusual combinations of color arrangements.
He's spent years developing his style, his brand, his artistic identity, and building what he calls his cultural capital.
Which is exactly that recognition, that name, and paired with a certain visual approach. And that's something that gives us power. It gives us a place in the conversation. You know, brands need it. It gives us some kind of mobility. And I think when that thing is harvested and sold for a subscription, then I feel like it's a very unfair process.
What Hanukkah's referring to are AI-powered tools that generate art. You may have heard of programs like Stable Diffusion, DALL-E 2, and Midjourney. If you haven't used one yourself, it's pretty simple. Type in a prompt, like illustration of a woman sitting in a cafe drinking coffee, and the program spits back what looks like a drawing of a woman sitting at a cafe drinking a cup of coffee. You can even ask for work that evokes your favorite artists, say Van Gogh or Rembrandt. A prompt like, a woman sitting at a cafe drinking coffee in the style of Monet can generate unique results that look like the dead French impressionist could have painted himself. And Hanukkah says a lot of people have been typing in his name into these generators to produce work in his style.
Somebody sent me a link of what I'm guessing happened is that somebody went and used my name in a prompt and maybe also the word cyberpunk and created 400 images and then went on OpenSea, which is this marketplace where you can sell collectible JPEGs, NFTs, and sold this 400 image collection under the title Punks by Hanukkah.
400 images using his name.
So here is an entire process of creation and marketing and sale that has nothing to do with me. It's a direct threat on what I do. And it uses my identity in a way that I just can't control.
OpenSea says it has developed and put a great deal of investment toward preventing plagiarism, including using human moderators. It also has tools to allow sellers of digital art to add attribution with a badge called Inspired By, and another one called Content Credentials, which says who created the original graphic. But for Hanukkah, it's not just the places where AI-generated art can be sold that has him worried. Rather, it's the ease with which strangers can access his unique style for free on AI-powered art tools. After all, if they can make art like his without him almost instantly, why pay Hanukkah for his work at all?
It just doesn't make sense to pay an artist and to wait 3 weeks if you can get it like for essentially nothing.
Of course, there's a fine line between inspiration and actually copying an artist's work. And many supporters of AI art generation programs say these tools are just starting points. A spokesperson for Stability AI said its tools are assistive, the way digital cameras or photo editing software have been for photography. They added, quote, "We expect AI to open up new opportunities for the creative industry and grow the pie for paid artistic work." A spokesperson for OpenAI, the maker of DALL-E, also mentioned photo editing software as an example of how technology has impacted artists in the past. They acknowledged that AI would likely have an impact on jobs and said, quote, "The nature of many jobs will change. Jobs that never existed before will be created. Others may be eliminated." Midjourney did not respond to a request for comment. Painters, graphic designers, concept artists have all raised concerns that part or all of their livelihoods could be snatched away by people using these programs. But they're not the first creative professions to deal with the emergence of new tools, specifically the introduction of artificial intelligence. For example, the film industry has been using AI for a while now. And some in the industry say it actually makes their work easier by taking away the more mundane or repetitive tasks.
Right now, I don't think anyone would have noticed that I used AI in any of my work because I'm kind of using it for like technical stuff.
Evan Halleck is a visual effects artist who recently worked on the Oscar-winning film Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
There is always something to love. Even in a stupid, stupid universe where we have hot dogs for fingers.
Halleck has worked on commercials, music videos, and films. For Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, he says he mostly cleaned up shots, removing things from the backgrounds of scenes. He also made a lot of versions of Evelyn, the main character, when she's flying through the multiverse. And during the film, and in previous roles, he used AI tools to assist in his work. These aren't generative AI tools, but they help ease some tasks, particularly for a process called rotoscoping.
If you didn't shoot on a green screen and you want to put something behind that object, you have to manually cut them out. And in film, it's 24 frames a second, so you have to cut them out 24 times per second. It famously used to take really, really long periods of time, and no one that I know just truly liked doing it. It could take like 3-4 days for 7 to 8 seconds.
So if you film an actor in a city, but the scene calls for them to be on a beach, you've got to spend hours cutting them out of each shot and placing them over a shot of the coast. But Halleck can cut that time drastically using AI-powered rotoscoping tools. And he says the time he saves frees him up to work on more creative tasks. The first time he used it was about 2 years ago, and he's continued using it. But the thing is, Halleck, a freelancer hired by films, often used to outsource this work to others, who could make anywhere from $500 to over $1,000 a day, he says. Now with AI tools, he doesn't need to hire them. And as these tools become more common in the industry, even Halleck acknowledges they could have a big impact on who gets hired and how much money films put towards tasks like visual effects.
I think eventually rates may go down as things get easier. Rotoscopers, famously, it can take 5-6 days to do things. And if it only takes a day, your budget goes down quite a bit. Or maybe not even rates, but timelines might go down. The rates might stay the same, but the actual like timelines that you get will go down. And it's really hard to say just because everything is just changing. Every 3 months I hear of like a new really exciting thing.
Halleck thinks big visual effects houses, places that hire thousands of VFX artists to work on films, will be hit hardest. So, what does this pace of development mean for the future of the creative workforce? We'll get into that when we come back.
Here's what's trending now. You can defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. February 1st through March 15th, 2023, everything they need to reduce manual processes, boost efficiency, build forecasts, and increase productivity. Whether your business generates millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months at netsuite.com/wallstreet. That's netsuite.com/wallstreet.
As we said at the beginning, technology has impacted jobs before. But often, the elimination of jobs by technology leads to the creation of roles that couldn't have been imagined before. There were no web developers before the internet, but a door-to-door encyclopedia salesman is hard to come by these days. Research from Goldman Sachs found that 2/3 of occupations could be partially automated by AI. The bank notes, though, that AI could lead to the creation of new roles and new ways of doing things. Some artists are already gaining fame by using technology to create art. Mike Winkelman, who works under the name Beeple, broke art sale records with his collection of digital images that sold for $69.3 million, though they weren't made with AI. Artist Trevor Paglen's Bloom, a series of AI-generated prints resembling photographs of flowers, is on display at an exhibition at the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth. And Jason Allen, a games developer, took home first prize in an art competition at the Colorado State Fair, with his work created via AI art generator Midjourney. But concerns about technology coming for more jobs have been rising lately, especially as more generative artificial intelligence tools have been launched, including AI art generators like DALL-E, Stable Diffusion, and also ChatGPT, which can write research papers and compose poems. Nearly 20% of the U.S. workforce could be impacted by this tech, including mathematicians, coders, and writers, according to a study by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania and OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT, which stands to financially benefit if more of this technology is adopted. All of this is making this moment feel different than past developments.
The easy thing to point to say now is different than it has been up till now, is the rate of adoption and use of this technology.
That's Matt Bean, a professor of technology management at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Bean says to understand why generative AI technology could impact earnings and opportunities for the future workforce, you have to understand how its adoption impacts workers who aren't totally replaced by technology. And to understand this concept fully, I'm going to let Bean introduce a piece of academic jargon.
Skill-biased technical change.
That's skill-biased technical change.
The basic idea there is that when you have a new class of automated technology, there's some period where no one quite knows how to use it, but when we start to sort of figure it out, then if you have skill and privilege in your job already, and I don't mean capital P privilege here. I mean, you sort of have resources, you have discretion in your work. You have a quote unquote good job. That change accrues to you and your career in a way that enhances your lot, gives you better things to do, more interesting work. Whereas if you're sort of below the waterline, skill-wise, you're in a job that doesn't require that much of you, that much complicated skill, those are the jobs that tend to become simplified over time because they're more amenable to automation. And so those who are below that waterline tend to often end up with less opportunity, lower pay, the jobs are lower quality, and you know they can be more monotonous, for example.
The result, according to Bean, is that some human workers end up doing very simple, repetitive roles. They interact less with skilled or senior staff, and therefore learn less and have fewer opportunities to grow in their job. Or put simply,
if a technology allows an expert to do more, better, by themselves, then they need less help from somebody who's a novice, who's trying to learn.
So why does this matter for creative fields? Bean says creative fields are the canary in the coal mine. Because if you stop asking novices to do basic roles, filling in the background of a large image or design, or cutting out an object 24 times for a single second of a movie, they have less chance to get their foot in the door, develop industry knowledge, and hone their skills under a more seasoned artist. This is what Evan Halleck is already seeing in visual effects, and what Tomer Hanukkah fears will happen to illustrators. Remember, historically, economists say technological innovation has created more jobs and added more wealth to the economy. The thing is, Bean says the speed at which AI technology is being adopted is so unprecedented, it's hard to know the impact on society.
The pace and the extent of change. That alone is unprecedented and should lead us to pay attention in new ways and not to assume that it's all going to be the same creative destruction that has come before.
Of the artists and researchers we spoke to, including the three we introduced you to today, none thought the role of artists would go away entirely. But as more of their tasks are replaced with AI, Hanukkah, Halleck, Bean, and others told us it's likely only a small number of the very best will find well-paid work as artists. And what that means for the world, we've yet to figure out. Next week, on the fourth episode of our AI series, Artificially Minded. Who's responsible for generative AI if it behaves badly? If a chatbot, for example, helped you commit a crime. Until then, you can catch regular episodes of Tech News Briefing in this feed. And if you want even more tech news, check out our website, wsj.com. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. We had editorial support from Eric Bellman, Philana Patterson, and Robert Wall. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. This episode was mixed by Michael Laval. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival, when the Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today using code PODCAST to receive 20% off your ticket. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.